Appreciate you being in here this morning. As I said last week, I'm not in here to take Joe's place because you can't do that. Tremendous man of God he is. And I just appreciate him. Like Terry said, I'm not shaking hands with nobody today. In fact, as soon as the class is over, I'm going home. Doctor said if I get a sniffle, slight temperature, anything, they won't do no surgery. So best thing for me to do is go on back home. So then anyway, I'm being antisocial, but no. We're gonna look today on something we all do or should do every day. Something we need to do every day, at least once a day, if not more. And that's prayer. Now, we're gonna look at a few things today about prayer, and you say, well, I already know about that. Well, you probably do, but maybe we can look at some things today that we've not really seen. First of all, what is prayer? Well, you know, if we went around the room and asked each one individual, we'd all probably get pretty much the same answer of what prayer is. Actually, what it is, it's a request or a petition made to God. You say, well, I knew that. Well, it's a prayer is a petition or request made to God. In other words, a prayer is a sincere desire of our heart. That's where we need to pray from, our heart, not from here. Because when we're at home a lot of times, or when we're praying sometimes, we're praying silently. It's not nothing coming out of our mouth necessarily, but this is where it comes from. Prayer comes from our heart. So prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. Now, you know, we can pray, and if it don't come to heart, it's no effect. So prayer is a request or a petition from God. In other words, it's a sincere desire of the heart. Now, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that to pray without ceasing. Now, you know, somebody said, well, you can't walk around all day and pray all. No, you can't. But you can have a prayer in your heart all day long. And that's what God means there. In the last Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Have a prayer in our hearts all the time. We don't have to walk around and be mumbling all day. That'd put us in a loony bin, probably. You can take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And we're going to lay an introduction here of a foundation, and then we're going to get into some scriptures. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Paul says here, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In what? In everything. He don't mean just the major things. He don't mean just pray for the big things in our lives. He says in everything. That's what he said. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Paul said in everything. Hey. And there's a lot of things that might be insignificant or little things we think. But Paul said we need to pray everything. Everything. With prayer and supplication. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Again, Paul said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul said, you need to continue in prayer. See, we need to understand that prayer is important. Now, I know a lot of times, I say we, because sometimes I probably get the same way. Sometimes we really go to taking prayer for granted. Well, you know, it's a privilege we have that we don't deserve, and God don't have to give us the privilege to pray. But, you know, sometimes I think we just kind of take it for granted. But Paul says here, he said, not only in everything, but continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Yeah. Now, yeah, I'd hate to think that we couldn't pray when we wanted to, that we had to go through a series of events to get a hold of the Holy God, But he is there all the time. And he's waiting on his children to talk to him. So we need to continue in prayer. And it's sad to say, but there's probably a lot of saved people. I believe they're saved and born again and going to heaven. And I guarantee you some of them probably hadn't prayed in 2 weeks. Sometimes they ain't prayed in a while or get busy or whatever the situation is and they don't pray. And then they got a problem in their life or a situation in their life or somebody's sick or they got a problem and then they want to go to God and want God to take care of it. In other words, they want to use God as a tourniquet or a last-minute resort for their prayer life. That ain't going to cut it. Now, with that in mind, what kind of prayers are they? What kind of prayers can be prayed? Well, first of all, there's a prayer of adoration. Just admiring God, just admiring Him and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, admiring them. A prayer of adoration. Then there's the prayer of confession. So I'm afraid a lot of us probably don't do a lot of times, prayer of confession. And then there's a prayer of supplication. That word supplication means a plea. A prayer of supplication or plea. And then there's a prayer of intercession. And there's a prayer of thanksgiving. And you know, there's a lot of intercessory prayer mentioned here in the Word of God. And we're going to look at one at the end of the conclusion of the lesson today. And then there's a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, I stop and think about it sometimes. Do we thank God in our prayers the way we ought to? Do we stop and thank God for our prayers as we ought to? You look around and look at what God's given. Every man in this class today is blessed. Oh, yeah, we got problems. But as far as I know, every man in this class is born again and on their way to heaven and going to be with Jesus one day forever. You know, we ought to be thankful for what God's given. And hey, I sometimes take stuff for granted. We ought to be thankful for the health that God gives us. And I'm not getting on that because God's good to me too. He's good. God's been good to me. You know, we walk around here, and as I was telling Ernie and I think Terry a while ago, Avery had a birthday party yesterday and they had about 35 boys from his school and from their church over at the gym over there where they're going, Michelle and Travis. Yeah. I stand there watching them boys, 12, 14, 15, 16 years old, man, they were running and going wild and playing and having a big time. And you know, I just stopped and thought, it'll be gone one day. But I thank God today that I can still walk and get around. Amen. So, you know, there's a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, there's many prayers through this blessed book right here. Many of them. This book is full of prayers from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's full of prayers. Now, with the introduction pretty much being given, take your Bible and go to the book of James. Book of James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? How many, don't raise your hands. How many of you in here today are afflicted in some way? It may not be health-wise. It may not be physical. It may be spiritual. It may be family problems. It could be any number of things. You're afflicted in some way. What did he say do? Throw a lot of extra money in the plate? No. Let him pray. And let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Look at verse 14. Is any sick among you? And I dare say that there's probably several of you in here today that probably don't feel good. Well, there may be things wrong with you that nobody even knows about but you and God or you and your spouse or you and somebody that you're close to. Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them what? Sing songs? Sing hymns? No. Pray over him. Pray over him. anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right, let's go on. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith. Now, you know, that's another key right there to prayer. And we're going to look at some in just a minute. A lot of times we, and I keep saying we because I'm guilty too. A lot of times we pray about things, but in the back of our minds, we're wondering, is it going to happen? And I'm going to be honest with you. I've had God answer some prayers in my life, and I mean, it just literally amazed me. And then some little old situation come up that wasn't a big deal, really.
Yeah.
And I go to praying about it, and I'd go and think, well, God, are you going to do that? And my faith would go to wavering. Well, now, is he going to do that? And he's done some mammoth things. Faith. He said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And there's a lot of people today that's walking around today because people prayed for them in the faith, with faith, and prayed for them, and God healed them. Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, I want you to look at verse 16. We're going to zero in on this one. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Yeah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want you to watch something. And I've done this before. You know, somebody talk about, would you pray for me? Or you know, talk about prayer and all. Well, now, you know the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yada, yada, yada. But what is God saying? Now, you know, there's a lot of power in that right there. And I've told people before, and I meant well. Well, you know, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. And it does. And I've done it before and said it. And really, in all honesty, I didn't realize how much power was in that scripture right there. And, you know, you look at it and think about it. Well, that's your favorite prayer, righteous man, availeth much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it does. And I'm not trying to belittle the Word of God. But I want you to watch something. Let's break this down and look at it, the whole scripture, verse 16, with the introduction kind of being given. Before we get into that,
yeah,
let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. You can hold your place there.
Yeah.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's what it says in James.
Yeah.
Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Pray one for another. Paul says here, as he's writing to the Romans, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with the Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. What did James say? Pray one for another, that he may be healed. What do we see Paul doing? Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. God's his witness. Paul said, God knows I do this. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul said, I don't cease to mention you. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't cease to mention prayer for them. Talk about the Romans. He said, I don't cease to mention you in my prayers every day.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something right there when he can say that without ceasing. What did the Bible say? Pray without ceasing. How? Pray always. That's what he said, pray always. So we find here, Paul said, that without ceasing, I mention of you always in my prayers. And I tell you what, if old Paul said he did, I believe Paul did. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'm not going to be able to read all these verses, but I just want you to get the gist of it. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse. Well, let's bring us up to speed. We find here in Acts 12, verse number two, where old Herod decided he's going to kill some of God's men. So we see in verse number two where he said he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. All right, he took Peter, and I want you to watch, look at verse number five. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was, actually he's going to keep him, he's going to kill him later, but it didn't work out. God got him out of there. We find in verse number three and four, verse five. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but money was made without ceasing. Is that what it says? No. No. He didn't say nothing about money.
Yeah.
He said, therefore, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer. He didn't say, go out and collect me $5,000 and bail me out. He didn't say, well, now, I want you to just think about me being in here now and keep me on your mind. No, that ain't what it said. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made what? Without ceasing. You know, we can't go for two or three days without prayer. Oh, we can, but we're going to pay the price. Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. Who was praying for him? The lost man? No. Who was praying for him? Herod? No. He's the one who had him thrown in prison, going to kill him after a few days. He didn't have no use for him. You know who was praying for him? Ceasing of the church and to God for him. The church was praying for him. Who? His brothers and sisters were praying for him that God would take care of the situation.
Yeah.
And I want to say I thank God today that, and I know you do too, that your brothers and sisters in Christ in this church and other brothers and sisters in Christ pray for you when you got a need. We ought not take it for granted. All right? Let's go on. Let's look at verse number. We find here now the church is praying for him without ceasing. Look at verse number 11.
Yeah.
And we find here where God sent an angel and opened the door and led Peter out and Peter was safe. Let's pick it up in verse number 11.
Yeah.
And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Gossiping? Gambling? Spending money? No. Praying. How many did it say? John, whose surname was, where many were gathered together praying. Now, you can say how many many is. Many could be two or three. But I believe that many was about 5 million of them. I'm exaggerating. But the Bible said that many were gathered together praying for Paul, Peter. We need to pray for one another. And say, well, I ain't too fond of old brother so-and-so. I ain't going to be, well, we need to. It don't matter whether you like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or I like them or not. If God says pray for them, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. How do you think Peter got out of jail? Prayer without ceasing. That's how he got out of jail. Look at verse number 12.
Yeah.
And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. That's how he got out of jail. Now, I'm not saying God wouldn't have got him out of jail some other way, but God got him out of jail. Why? Because people were praying for him. Now, if we think about praying one for another, don't raise your hand, but who do you ask to pray for you? I don't believe there's nobody in this class today that's going to go to a lost man and ask him to pray for him. Now, there's a lot of people that I know that they're lost. And I love these people. And you've got people you know that's lost and on their way to the lake of fire. But you still love them. I'm not saying, oh, but you've got good friends that you love. They're not saved. They're not going to heaven. They're going to the lake of fire. But as much as you care about them, you ain't going to go to them and ask them to pray for you. Number one, God ain't going to hear them anyway. And number two, you're not going to go to a lost man because God ain't going to hear them. And you don't know whether they're going to pray for you or not. I've had people tell me, and I knew they were lost. I've had people tell me, well, Melvin, I'll be praying for you. And I appreciate and God, and I tell them, I appreciate it. I tell them, thank you, I appreciate it. And deep down, I knew that they wasn't going to get through because they was lost. I knew they were lost. And the prayer they wasn't going to go nowhere. God wasn't going to hear them. But I did appreciate the fact that they said they'd pray for me. And I said, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And you probably had lost people. So I'll be praying for you, brother. I'll be praying for you, knowing that they were unsaved. But I'm not going to go to a lost. I've got some good friends that are lost. I would to God they'd get saved. Y'all probably do too. But you're not going to go to that individual and say, how about praying for me, brother? How about praying for me, whatever his name is? You're not going to do it. So let's flip-flop that thing around. Praying one for another. Yeah. Not only are we not going to go to a lost man to pray for us, but there's some brothers, now watch it now, there's some brothers and sisters in Christ, you may love them, but you know they're not right with God, and you're not going to go to them and ask them to pray for you either. And I'm not being ugly, and I'm not trying to be critical. But there's some brothers and sisters in Christ don't have to be in this church. I mean, it could be just friends. They don't go to church. They lay out of church. And I'm not being ugly. They're worldly. They're carnal. They're fleshly living. They don't pray. They don't never pick the Bible up. Oh, yeah, they're saved and going to heaven as by fire. You're not going to go to somebody like that and say, pray for me, because you know that God ain't going to hear them if they got unconfessed sin in their life. And you're not going to go to them and ask them to pray for you when you know their lifestyle. If they don't never pick up this blessed 1611 King James Bible, they don't have come to church. You know who you're going to get to pray for you? Is somebody that you know can get a hold of God and get a hold of him immediately. And a lot of times, now sometimes situations come up in our lives, and it's a slow process. It may be something that's down the road. You'll ask somebody, some people to pray for you about a situation, and you don't even have to tell them what it is. Sometimes they don't need to know. Sometimes I don't need to know. And it's a progression, it's prayer. If you've got something that's coming up, if you've got something in your life that you need immediate prayer for, you ain't going to go to no brothers and sisters half-cocked and don't live for God, and they're worldly and carnal and fleshly, and they're out of church all the time, and they don't read their Bibles, and they don't pray. You ain't going to go to them and ask them to pray for you. You ain't going to have. I wouldn't think you would. So, when we consider praying one for another, we need to look at that. Lost men, you ain't going to ask no lost man to pray. And I'm not being critical. I hope they get saved. I'd like to see them get saved. And then you're not going to go to individuals that are probably saved. And what I just mentioned, carnal, fleshly, worldly living, don't go to church. Not likely you're going to go to them. Who are you going to go to? You're going to go to somebody or bodies that can get a hold of God and know they can. Let me throw something up at you. And I'm not being critical. I may have done this myself. How many times you went to a brother, I'm not saying here at church necessarily, but you'd be asking them to pray for you about something, or it could have been a sister in Christ. God, they can get a hold of God too. We ain't got no premium on them. God hears a woman's prayers. And you'll be asking them to pray for you about something, kind of tell them in general what it is. And they'll be looking off over here somewhere. They'll be looking over here. While you're saying something to them about their buddy and tell you about. I guarantee you, most of the time, they don't even hear what you're saying. Most of the people not only in this class, but I'm talking about saved people anywhere. They've got certain people that they go to, they know that they can get a hold of a holy God. And they know that that individual is going to pray for them. How many times does somebody ask another individual, well, brother, would you pray for me? And they didn't even have to tell them why. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And they forgot it. You'd probably be surprised at the times that's happened. And they didn't mean to do it. But if they like me and their memory's about as long as my finger is, they'd forget it. I'm not exalting me, but when somebody asked me to pray for them, I said, let me write that thing down. Because if they don't, I'll forget it. So we need to have somebody we go to people to pray for so we know and get a hold of God. All right, now let's go on.
Yeah.
Let's go back over to James. All right, so we see, confess your faults one another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Now, I want you to watch these last words.
Yeah, yeah.
The effectual. What does that mean? I've read that thing, I don't know how many times. The effectual. What does that mean? Well, you know, it's got something to do with it. The word effectual means energy and it means efficiency. In other words, it means something getting done. When we see that word in there, the effectual, something needs to be getting done. If a prayer is going to have any effect to it, it's got to have some words to it. It means energy and efficiency. So that word effectual is just not put there, just to be put there. That means that we need to pray with some energy. You know, and again, I'm not being critical of people. And you know, this is good for kids. People, you know, now lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep me. Blah, blah, blah. And that's good for kids if it comes from the heart. You know, when we pray, we need to pray fervently from the heart. In other words, with some energy. You know, yeah, yeah, well, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm not being critical. I want us to see what's in these scriptures. We need to pray fervent. That means with some energy. That means with some efficiency. In other words, we want to see something get done. We want to see some results. Somebody comes up to ask us, will you pray for me, brother? Or whatever. And I don't even have to tell you why. Well, you know, we can go home and pray for them. Yeah, but how do we pray? And God will hear our prayers, you know, under regular conditions. No one confess sin and certain things. God hears our prayers. Yeah, but that word fervent's in there for a reason. We need to pray with some energy. We need to pray with some power that God will hear it and do something. So that word fervent in there is in there for a reason. The effectual. Effectual. And that's what we need. Something that's got some results and something that's got some energy to it where something can be done.
Yeah.
And we get some results. And then the next word we want to look at, the effectual, fervent prayer. Now that word fervent's in there for a reason too. There's a lot of stuff right here in these words.
Yeah.
The word fervent means instant. It means earnest. What are we saying? The effectual fervent prayer. We need to pray instantly. Whenever we can. We need to pray instant all the time. Have it on our hearts. And pray earnestly from our hearts. That's what the word means.
Yeah.
That's what the word fervent means. It means earnest. You know, and I hate to say it, but I'm guilty too sometimes. When I pray with somebody, I don't maybe pray as fervent like I should. I pray for them in the heart, but it may not be as fervent as I ought to. We're going to see something before the bell rings.
Yeah.
But fervent prayer. What is that? That is prayer from the heart. And that's what God sees. So we look at that, the effectual. Something that's going to take some results, get some results. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, if you're going to pray without wrath and doubting, you're going to have to be praying effectual fervent. If you're going, you can't pray effectual and have fervent prayer if you've got wrath and doubting in your heart. See what I'm saying? So that's very important, that scripture. Fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent. Prayer that's got some effect to it. And prayer that's going to do some good. And again, lifting up, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Yeah. If you've got aught against the individual you're praying for, you better not even be praying for them. You get that thing right. God said, in that scripture, he said, if you've got wrath or you're doubting, you're wasting your time. You might be praying for somebody for something, and it may be a total impossibility to us. But a holy God can take care of it. We get down there and go to praying for an individual, and we've got doubting in our heart. Well, I doubt God will do this. I don't believe that any of us doubt that God can't do it. Sometimes we kind of doubt that He will do it. I say we. If we're going to get down there and pray for somebody and we've got doubting in our heart, that's not effectual fervent. Oh, it's prayer, and if it comes from the heart, God will see it and hear it. Effectual fervent prayer. All right, now, let's look at the next situation. Of a righteous man. Of a righteous man. Yeah. Now, God sees all. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and born again, we are seen righteous in His eyes through the blood. We're righteous in His eyes through the blood. Yeah. But the Bible said the effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Yeah.
That word righteous means to be straight. It means to be just. It means to be honest. Now, you know, there's a lot of saved people, they're righteous in God's eyes because of the blood, but are they righteous in their living? Are they just with people? Are they honest with people? Are they straight with people? Well, ain't nobody perfect. I understand that. And I'm not saying that. I'm not talking perfection. I'm talking about a testimony. I'm talking about testimony that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. One is, a man is straight or just. One is honest. You're not going to go to somebody, a righteous man that may be saved and righteous in God's eyes because of blood. What about his life? And ain't nobody perfect, but you're not going to go to somebody and ask them to pray for you that says a businessman and he's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And he's got a reputation of being a crook, and he don't treat nobody right, and he's always out to burn somebody. Oh, he's a righteous man in God's eyes because of the blood, but is he straight and honest with everybody else with his testimony? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
May be dishonest in his dealings if he's a businessman. He may just be a scoundrel. So far as being straight and right and honest.
Yeah.
And then you've also got people that's got unconfessed sin in their lives. Now there's saved people walking around here today that I'm no judge. But you know as well as I do, there's a lot of saved people all everywhere that's walking around with unconfessed sin. Are they straight? Are they right? Are they honest? In God's eyes, they're righteous because of the blood. I'm talking about testimony-wise. We find here the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's not talking about the male gender. It's talking about humanity. It could be a lady. Yeah. But a righteous man. And like I said before, it's very, very important that we have a testimony that is, we're a righteous person. We're straight. We're right. We're honest. The best we can be. And then there's also this thing of unconfessed sin. And God does not hear prayers of an individual that sins are not confessed. Some of you are looking at me mighty strange. Yeah. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verse number 1. Yeah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Unconfessed sin. And it's all in the New Testament too. I don't have time to go to scriptures. If we have got unconfessed sin in our life, God ain't going to hear our prayers. We get that thing confessed. And that's what he's saying here in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we think about a righteous man. Yeah, we're thinking about one here. You know, you're going to ask somebody to pray for you and know it's living right, the best you can tell. And so am I. All right, I'm almost through. Then it goes on to say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. What does that mean? What does it avail? Avail is results. Availing is results for what you get. If you pray for somebody and you see God do a miracle in their life, and God does it, he gets all the glory. We don't deserve it. We don't need it. We just ought to be honored that God would let us pray for somebody and he'd hear our prayers and answer our prayers. But that availeth. You know what availeth is? That's results. And don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever had a brother or sister come to you and ask, and it don't have to be in this church, it could be anywhere, and ask you to pray about something that was important? I mean, it was something, I mean, just absolutely one of the most important things in their life. And they come to you a couple of days later and say, God answered that prayer. And you think, glory to God, he had a part in it. God let you be a part in it. It availeth. He answered the prayer. It could be a matter of life and death. It could be a matter of somebody losing a job. It could be anything. I mean, something is horrendous in a person's life. Yeah. Maybe you prayed for them. A day later, a week later, or down the road, they come back and say, brother, God answered that prayer, and whatever. What did it avail? That's the results. It availeth. See, that's the results. Now that prayer, it didn't say that a prayer availeth and leave it at that. No, James added one more word to it. It availeth much. Not a little. Not a small amount, but it availeth much. And I need to hurry. The word much means sufficient. Means sufficient. So it availeth much. In other words, it's sufficient and done what it needed to do. Now, I'm going to close with this. It's the conclusion. Go to Exodus chapter 32, and I'll be through. Exodus chapter 32, and I need to hurry. I want you to watch this. You know, we've been talking about praying for each other. Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, and we shall go before us before this Moses. The man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what become of him. Now, you see what he said. All right, now look at verse number 4. And I said, well, Moses gone. We don't know what happened to him. Verse 4. And they told Aaron, said, yep, make us another god. And they throwed all the gold off and melted it down. Look at verse 4. You know, and he received at their hand and fastened it with a graven tool after he had made it in a molten calf. And he said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar for it, and Aaron made proclamation, said, "Tomorrow be a feast of the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings and said, "The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Now you see what's happened here. Verse 7. Now watch this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down for thy people." What did he say? He said, "Your people." You ever notice that? God said, "Get thee down for thy people." He said, "They're your people, Moses. They've gone away. They're your people. Get thy people." "And brought us up out of the land of Egypt, corrupted themselves." Now, you see what's happened. You know the story. What happened, how they made the calves and worshiped them and done all. They went plumb crazy. All right? Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down for thy people which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." And it goes on to talk about what they've done and everything they've done. Now, let's look at verse number 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and I may consume them and make of thee a great nation." God was ready to wipe that whole crowd out, every one of them, and make a new nation out of Moses. That's what he said. "And I will consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." He was ready to get rid of that crowd and get him another nation. He's ready to get rid of that bunch. Now look at verse 11. "And Moses besought the Lord," now watch this, "and said unto him, why dost thy wrath wax hot against thy people?" Moses said, "Oh Lord, these is your people." That's what he said. He said, "Thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, and with a mighty hand." The bell hadn't rung, has it? Yeah, the second one had. Okay. Yeah. "And with great power." Now, what do we got here? God is angry with them for what they've done, and he's ready to destroy that whole crowd and make a new nation out of Moses. Yeah. I want you to look at verse number 12, and then I'm going to close out. "Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did that he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn," this is Moses asking God, "turn from thy fierce wrath and repent this evil against thy people." What's he doing? He's interceding. He's praying for his brothers and sisters. He's interceding with prayer. Is it effectual? Is it fervent? Look at verse 14. "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." You know why God didn't wipe that crowd out? Because Moses interceded for him. He prayed effectually. He prayed fervently. He was a righteous man, and it availed much. Now, if it had been some other yo-yo down there praying, it wasn't right with God. God might have wiped that whole crowd out and got rid of Israel and made a new nation out of Moses. Yeah. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Next time somebody quotes that, and I might do it, "Well, effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," and I'm not being critical, I didn't ever notice it. Stop and think about what it means. There's a lot of meat in that prayer. Father, thank you.